It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Glad to have you listening on a Friday. Tonight we get to NCAA regional action down at State Farm Arena. Old Miss, Miss State, that's a 7:09 tip. And then the late game, Michigan taking on Auburn. Auburn's a 9-point favorite. Last night, Mike, and we just heard in the update, you know, if you didn't watch, and we were just talking about Cooper Flagg. For those who don't know this or don't maybe remember, Cooper Flagg, but when our guys went over in the summer to Paris, Cooper Flagg was one of the guys they brought in to play against our Olympic team.
In Vegas. They made a documentary about it.
He killed him. He was killing everybody. Everybody's like, who is this kid? What is this kid? And everybody left and was like, he's legit. He'll be the number one pick. And that's our Olympic team. Okay, that's the Stephs, the LeBrons, and company. And so now you've seen him at Duke. And last night, Mike, he drops 30 against Arizona. This kid is as advertised. Duke moves on, guys, last night. So did Alabama. We talked about how well they score the ball, and they did. They scored 113 points against BYU. Florida was dominant in their win against Maryland and that freshman class that they have. And then the night game, the late game, Mike, we talked about it. You know, Cal, Arkansas, they get off to a great start.
Blow a 16-point lead, and a lot of Arkansas fans are blaming DJ Wagner for just some horrible free throws. I mean, you can tell – it's not like it's any big secret. You know when the moment, Carl, is too big for some guys at the stripe. And that was like – it literally looked like he was walking the plank. You could see it. And so, yeah, he butchers those free throws. There was more to it, though. I still think that – you know, Calipari, we could get into this. He sometimes is just his own worst enemy in the half court. It's almost like there is no strategy at times when a game gets tight.
So they're leading – you know, by 7 in the first half, they put up almost 40 points. And then they get outscored in the second half, 41-34. But to your point, this comeback, this is coaching. You have a lead. You're in control of the game. Your kids are playing well enough for you to win. How do you control the game and get them under control to do the things you need to do to win? And I said this, you know, as we went to break. This is why he's not at Kentucky. He won a couple of games this year, which he couldn't do in the first couple of rounds the last few years at Kentucky, and the expectation is just off the charts there. I get it. But I want you to hear, first of all, the final call, and then what Cal had to say about how he's looking at this season, Mike. Now, he goes to Arkansas again. It's his first year there. They're paying him a lot of money, and I think he'll get them right. But ultimately, in these big games, it's what you're judged by. Here's how the game ended.
3 seconds left. Wagner driving right. Behind his back. Launches a 20-footer for the tie. No! It's over! Texas Tech has won! Texas Tech is going to the Elite Eight! The Red 16 down, and in overtime, Texas Tech knocks off Arkansas 85-83.
Yeah, man, a lot of guys saying, for instance, strategy-wise, who is it? It was Darian Williams, right?
Darian
this
Williams.
Guy makes a big shot.
Correct.
So every time they got – you're watching, right? Every time they'd switch on – you have a screen, they'd switch. And I was like, what are you doing? Why are you switching every time Darian Williams is on a ball screen? That's on Calipari. Or is it – where's the assistant coach? You know
– Well, he's got great assistants.
But I'm saying, but here's the thing. Like, a guy like – remember Georgia Tech back in the day? I mean, everybody loved Bobby Kremins. You know, you had Kevin Cantwell who was kind of the X's and O's guy to help Bobby in sort of some of those half-court moments. Where is that guy for Calipari when that's going down? When people, when even the announcing crew is saying, you know, you maybe shouldn't be switching every time Williams is screened at the top of the key.
Yeah, I thought this was a monumental fail for him last night. Again, you should be moving on. Here's what he said. We're talking about John Calipari after the game. So Patino, great story at St. John's, out.
And he blew it too because he got into his feels over his star point guard who then got in his feels and you blew it.
And here's Cal from last night.
But I'm going to say it again for everybody. For me, this was as rewarding a year, and I feel like crap right now, but this was as rewarding a year as I've had in all my years. Now, I've had teams that were better and finished better and national champions and all that stuff. This was a different reward.
That's nice. It doesn't really translate. And this is what I'm talking about, Mike, because Kentucky fans can speak to this. He's had a lead of 6 points or more in NCAA tournament 35 times. Remember, he spent, what, 14 years or whatever it was there at UK? He's 35-0 with Arkansas leading 38-31 at halftime. We were talking about this. This is from awful announcing. That's the thing I'm talking about. You go in with the lead. Your team's in command. You come out. They played well in the second half. It wasn't a blowout.
No.
And then you allowed them to climb back in. This is why Cal gets all of the heat that he gets.
And if you watch that documentary I've been talking about on Vice Sports, there was one on Calipari, one on Patino. It's an amazing job. You got to give credit where credit's due, Carl, to mold them where that team, where they were back in December, to where they are, and using their athleticism, and they just overpowered St. John's in the front court. Every night a new guy would step up through the end of the SEC season. But then they all just the moment was too big. I think the moment was too big for Cal, and that the players, it reflects to the players. He gets tight. The tightness then falls on his players,
yeah.
And they blow it. And now a guy's gacking some free throws. That's brutal. The other conversation we were having, it was kind of funny. We rolled right to the commercial break. It was like the show within the show was we, you, me, Commissioner Gordon, our man Gordon here, we were talking about how good Cooper Flagg looks now that he's back to 100% off that ankle. He looks insane. And a lot of folks, maybe this is the first time to really watch an entire Duke game. If you're not the ultimate, if you're the casual fan, you're not watching the ACC. And you were saying, what's the comp for him? So the immediate habit is to go look for a comparable white guy. And maybe there is no comparable white guy for Cooper Flagg. And I said to Carl, you throw some names out there. I said, what about a shorter version of Kevin Garnett? And you said, what about a more athletic Luka?
Yeah, well, look, I just think he can do all the things. These comps are fun. But, yes, it's human nature to immediately comp a black guy with a black guy and a white dude with a white dude. That's what we do, right?
But you can't comp him to white chocolate, okay? No. He's got more skills than that guy ever did. He was also a head case.
No, but he was a point guard. I mean, yeah. Cooper Flagg is going to be a stretch four in the NBA. He's going to guard 6'9", 7-foot guys.
Right.
But he can stretch the defense, and he can finish around the basket. I mean, this dude, like I said, he's legit. And here's the thing, and we'll dunk on your head.
Right.
That's something Luka won't do a lot of. So I don't even know if that's a fair comparison, but we started this whole thing, and we were both like, white dude. And then we realized that maybe there isn't that comp. It's just right. About his game and how it equals somebody else's game. And, you know, you were talking about Garnett. He's got post game that. You know, but I'm going to tell you, he's a better three-point shooter than Garnett.
Right. And we've got an era, you know, LeBron brings the ball up. We've got bigs that bring the ball up. But, I mean, this is a guy that looks like – and this is something, you know, we always talk about. See where he winds up. Now – it would be something if he ever wound up in Carolina. Imagine that, a Duke guy going to Charlotte, then they actually sell out every night.
Yeah.
Imagine him with Ball. That would be a nice little combination. That would be trouble for us.
Well, it would be, because then they'd have their superstar. I mean, Ball's a nice player, Mike, but Cooper Flagg has the potential to be a superstar in this league. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Also, guys, and I was just asking Carl, I said, I got something for you. We'll talk more about this in the Falcon Report at 5. You saw yesterday, it's a Chipotle somewhere in the world. Kirk Cousins walks into a Chipotle, takes a photo with some folks, and then we find out through hook or crook, and we still haven't. The Dukes of Bell I team has not verified this is in some part of Cleveland or suburban Cleveland. Kirk then goes on and says he loves this. He always gets the salad with extra chicken. But do you think, just asking you, because we're not going to get this from the Falcons, you think the Falcons have given Kirk's agent permission to talk to the Browns? And
I
that's
do.
Why, if he is in Cleveland, this is what's foreshadowing.
Oh, I think they've given him permission to talk to anybody because they're trying to get some resolution to this situation. Look, not allowing him to potentially talk to people. Remember, he has a no trade. He has to waive it. He has to like where he wants to go.
Right.
So to get resolution, you have to allow him to be able to talk to people and say, hey, that's somewhere I'm willing to go. Because the Falcons are going to come to him and say, hey, here's somewhere we got a deal for you. Right. And he's got to say, okay, cool, I'm with that. So, yeah, I absolutely believe that's probably going on. But my thing with this is, if it is in fact true with all the circumstance and rumors stuff out there on social media, why don't you do this in secrecy? Why are you putting it out there again to just stick it to us and say, ha, 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 look at me. I'm in Cleveland. I'm at a Chipotle. Yeah, I'm leaving your town soon enough. Just do it in secrecy. We know the situation.
I mean, he just loves to be out on social media. He just loves the spotlight. I mean, we've talked about, look, you have to sign up for that quarterback's special on Netflix. He wanted it. Some guys don't want to have a camera crew following you around for 3 months. He was into it. He gets it. Maybe Kirk just likes himself some Kirk, and the whole aw shucks thing, as we said, is just a facade and a routine, and he's just as big a diva as an Aaron Rodgers or anybody else, just wrapped up in a nicer package.
Yeah, I do think, Mike, they probably have allowed his people. There has to be some give and take. You can't control the situation completely if you're the Falcons and go, well, here's where we're trading you, especially when the dude can say, nope, not going. So you've got to give, and the give is go figure it out and talk to the teams that you think might be interested. We will do our part, and then hopefully we can.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay up devices early. Ctmobile.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can get a deal done. So if in fact this picture is true, and you know, again, I had tons of people hit me up, man, you seen this picture? We saw it.
But I said, how do I know it's not a, you know, put Chipotle in Johns Creek or Roswell?
Who knows?
But anyway, if you can get it, I think what most Falcon fans are saying, I don't care where he is, just get us a pick for him in this draft.
Yeah.
I just think there's a sense that we've got to go get some, as many, you know, it's a contact sport. We got to get as many shots at beefing up this defense. or whatever else you think we need. And right now, without having a third-round pick or having a fifth or a sixth, two sevens don't do it for anybody. We need more picks.
No, I'm with you. 404-726-0929. We are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys, hanging out. More on tonight's games, by the way, if you are an NCAA Hoops fan. And apparently more people are watching this particular tournament, Mike. There's a lot of interest. And you said it. Listen, Duke winning last night is good for the tournament. Alabama winning last night, the way they played, one of the top teams this year. I hate to say it. I know Michigan fans are in town tonight, but Auburn winning is good for the tournament.
Right, but you know, Hickory doesn't win the championship. That only happens in the movie Hoosiers. It actually did happen in the 50s in Indiana. But, I mean, in the real world, no. Butler doesn't win the title. Gonzaga, who became a brand, they don't even – even Gonzaga doesn't win. You know, George Mason was a great – they didn't win it. Sister, what's-her-face, Jean in Chicago, a Loyola of Chicago, they didn't win it. They get smoked. These guys get greased in the semifinals, and that's generally – if they're lucky, some make it to the finals. But to have the big brands, I just don't understand this hand-wringing. What does some writer care? I've seen some of your op-ed pieces in USA Today and online this week. Oh, the Cinderella's dead. Who gives a crap? We all want the blue chips anyway. Yeah, it's a nice story to see a McNeese, unless you're a Clemson fan, pull off some upsets. You want to have some wow moments, right? Some bracket busters. And we certainly got some of those.
We did.
But now we're into chalk.
Yeah.
And it was like that for much of our lifetime.
Well, I like these matchups. I like last night's matchups. I like tonight's matchups. More on that coming up because, you know, again, and if Michigan wins, don't misunderstand me. It is a huge brand, and they had a really good team. They're going to challenge Auburn tonight.
They've got some size issues for Auburn.
They do. And I don't know if, you know, Auburn's going to be able to withstand or be able to defend those bigs down there because they play high-low stuff, Mike. It's like two big seven-footers playing with the ball and just dropping it off to each other. But they play really well together. We're going to see. All right, but when we come back, we got to get to 4th and 1. You're a fantasy football player? I know you are. You in a keeper league? Okay, maybe you're not. What if I told you Bijan is going to be the best guy to take coming up this year in fantasy?
And I'll say no, he isn't.
We'll tell you why coming up next. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hanging out in Kennesaw, guys. And this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Listen, interesting conversation about Cousins. And in this day and age of AI, you just don't know. Right. CGI, you know, Photoshop. You see a picture. Hell, I could be somewhere and you'd be like, man, that's crazy. I wasn't there. I mean, we don't know if, in fact, that's where he was. But that's what's being, you know, at least rumored out there. And it got us into an interesting conversation about, is he negotiating with potential teams that he may go to? Look, I still think, Mike, before we move on to 4th and 1, the Browns make the most sense. But it doesn't mean that that's where he's going to end up.
Right.
You know, we've been saying this about the Steelers. And you know, what makes the most sense? Aaron Rodgers, it makes the most sense. Well, that hadn't happened yet. So, I don't know, man. I mean, like, I think that's the most likely thing to happen. But, you know, if we were just talking with some of our listeners, it's like, I can't put my finger on this thing. I don't know.
Like, as I said, it's funny because I wear my heart on my sleeve. As you know, Carl plays it closer to the vest. I really like Kirk Cousins. I like Kirk Cousins from the jump. And I just, it's like, yeah, I feel like, guys like, damn, Mike, you feel like a jaded girlfriend. You're darn right I do. You know,
Kirk,
I bought into this guy.
He's a jerk.
Kirk I bought into
is
this
a jerk.
Guy's mystique and the vibe, and it's like he's just a con man. And another thing that came up during the commercial break, pretty funny, shout out to my buddy Reese, fam, you in the house, he's a Rattler.
All right.
He brought up, he says, you know, he goes, I have to laugh, Mike, every time you bring up Mitchell Trubisky, says, you know who drafted Mitchell Trubisky? Ryan Pace.
He did.
Bears. Who is basically one of our assistants, one part of our brain trust with the Falcons, moved up from 3 to 2 to draft Trubisky. In that draft, which then obviously later there was a lot of great players named Patrick Mahomes and, you know, other guys you might want to be in business with, you know, Deshaun Watson, before it went bad. But they went with Trubisky.
Yeah, based on the guys that were coming out of that draft, he shouldn't have been drafted where he was. And look, Pace, along with all these general managers, have a guy that if you ask them privately, they go, I shouldn't have drafted him. And I'm willing to tell you because it changed the trajectory of his time in Chicago.
Right.
You get the right quarterback, Mike May, who knows? He might still be the GM there. I mean, so all these guys have a guy, but when it comes to quarterbacks and you get that guy wrong, it probably sets you back. And not only that, you probably ultimately lose your job. Let's talk about what else is going on around the NFL. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to 4th and 1. So we were talking about fantasy football. I think most of you, I'm not going to assume that all of you play. I used to play a lot more than I do. It's so time consuming. But if you have a league that you enjoy and you're in and you're looking ahead and you're like, man, it's like the draft. You start thinking about guys you want to get.
Right.
And there are reports out there, Mike, as they start to do these analysis about players that are going to take the next jump. Bijan Robinson's projected to blow away the fantasy competition in 2025. Now, I remember a few years back when this was Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
And everybody's like, hands down, number one pick. Not telling you Bijan's a number one overall pick, but I do think he may end up having a bigger impact than anybody else based on the way that this thing is looking right now. And I say this because based on what we saw last year, it can only get better, right? Knock wood. Hey, offensive coordinator, Falcons, it can only get better. Robinson averaged 17 touches last year, 87 yards. He basically gave you 14 fantasy points a game. But they're saying, Mike, those numbers are going to go up. And he's going to get more touches this year. He'll score more touchdowns and his yards per carry, blah, blah, blah. What the fantasy nerds are saying is that Bijan's going to have a major impact in the fantasy world this year.
All right. Now, I'm all for that. The one thing about Bijan, I owned him last year in fantasy.
Oh.
He and Jameer Gibbs won me my league, so I won shenanigans last year.
Did Gibbs get hurt?
No, it was the other running back. It was
Montgomery.
And Gibbs actually was the benefactor late in the season. The only knock, and again, I agree with everything you said, and if that's the way Zach Robinson's going to use him, then yes.
Please, I hope so.
The only thing missing from Bijan Robinson, what do you think his longest carry of the year was?
No breakaways.
That's what's
no
missing.
No breakaways.
The only thing that's missing that everybody else has, even Derrick Henry does, he doesn't do. His longest run from scrimmage was 37 yards. He had some big ones, 28, 26, 37, I mentioned, 29.
No, he had no 50, 60.
He does not take it to the house. Now, he had touchdown runs, but the one where, because we all know, he can stop on a dime, fake a corner or a linebacker out of his jockstrap, but the big run, that's the only, and now, look, I love Bijan.
The home runs.
We're big
You're
fans,
right.
And we love the dude, but the only thing yet to be part of his resume is the big take it to the house kind of run.
Yeah, it's what made the difference. You talk about Derrick Henry. Obviously, I think you're right. And look, is that a function of the offense or is that a function of just it popping? Like some of these plays have to pop and you get a chance. And look,
he's always like a shoestring tackle away from having the 75.
He is, because once he gets loose, you're not catching him. He's gone. But he hasn't had a chance to maneuver and get there. That's why once we get in the red zone and he makes all those moves to get a 5 or 6 yard gain, we're always wild. But I don't disagree with you. He hadn't had a big pops.
By the way, just out of comparison, because he was in the same draft and it also kind of helped to validate the run. Remember the running back was getting lost and devalued and all of a sudden we were helped to bring him back up? Jahmyr Gibbs, 47, 45, a 70 last year. So that's the only thing missing between the two of them as far as the elite
better offensive line.
Lions. Oh, yeah.
Lions have a better – I'm serious. I love our offensive line, but the Lions have one of the best offensive lines in the league.
But McGarry is better going forward than backwards.
Yes, yes.
You know, and we like Lindstrom's Pro Bowl level, but it is interesting.
But you're right.
That's the only – and again, I'm splitting hairs here because, we love Bijan, but that's the only thing missing.
What do you guys think, man? Hit us up. That's interesting, and that's just down the road. I mean, as we start talking about the draft and these new players, but we're always looking at fantasy, and some of you guys are in keeper leagues. I was in a keeper league, and I'm like – sometimes it's hard to determine if a guy's going to take that next step, and then you're like, I'll move on. And then he has a great year, and you're like, damn it. Either way.
Gibbs, by the way, averaged 5.6. He had 50 less carries than Bijan, and it just came up about 30 less yards.
It was
14-12 versus 14-15.
It was those big hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what puts you in that rarefied air you're talking about for fantasy.
Well, think about Saquon, Mike. I mean, it seemed like every time we watched him last year, he was on an 80-yard run, right? It was like, oh, there he goes again. I mean, he started the playoff game against the Rams that way.
It's just that's the ultimate litmus test, and that's a hell of a world to be living in if you can be that guy. Because, yeah, not to mention, he's a dude going in reverse, jumping over people, doing stuff. Like, let's be honest. We saw Saquon Barkley, and there's things we never saw before. How often do you watch SportsCenter? Okay, top 10. Oh, boy, somebody dunked a ball. Haven't seen that before. You know when a guy throws it down and everybody on the bench goes, oh, no, he did. It's like, I've seen that before. But when Barkley did what he did, you were like, you got to be kidding me. All right, look at these. Longest yards, longest rushes per the game, 68, 72, 39, 55, 59, 65. That's Saquon.
That's Saquon.
And that's the only thing missing from Bijan.
And that's why he ran for 2,000 yards.
And what's another correlation? Another great offensive line?
Yes, it really was. Eagles. Best offensive line Saquon's played for, and that's why he had the season he did. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our 4th-and-1 segment, guys, brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Let's hear from Brock Purdy. Now, I've told you all along, I can't pay him $60 million. I don't know if they're going to.
I can't pay him $30 million.
I don't know if they're going to. But Brock Purdy was talking about when he thought he could be a starter, because now all of this is starting to ramp up. And remember, for everybody that said, oh, the 49ers, they have all this money under the cap. You haven't paid your quarterback yet. And then they moved on from Debo, Mike. They've made some other moves. Here's Purdy talking about when he thought he could be a starter in the league.
During camp and stuff, all the competitions were going on. And, Trey was the guy, but like with Nate Sudfeld and I, and we're competing, and I knew that I could like rip the ball, and going up against like some dudes that I'd watched growing up on the practice field and then in preseason games. So that sort of gave me some confidence, like, okay, I can do this thing. I don't know how it's going to go down, because there's guys in front of me with Trey Lance and then later Jimmy Garoppolo joined again. But once Jimmy became the starter, I was like, I might get some playing time this year, man. I just don't know when.
Trey, think about that.
Trey Lance.
Now, is Purdy better than Trey Lance? Duh.
Well, we don't know what Trey Lance is.
But, Mike, Trey Lance was in front of him taking first-team snaps when he got there, because he was Mr. Irrelevant. Nobody expected anything from Brock
Purdy. Like I said, I can't crap on Trey Lance, because I've only seen him play like one or two games.
Where's he at, by the way? Cowboys let him go, didn't he?
Right, he was Cowboys, and they didn't play him.
No, they let him go. Yeah. Mike, if he was going to play, he would have played against us when Dak got hurt.
Right, they had Cooper Rush over Trey Lance.
Yeah. Here's Purdy talking about on the difficulty of seeing over the trenches. He is a smaller guy. He is not 6'5" kind of quarterback.
Can't you wear high heel spot builds?
Well, he might need to. Here's Purdy.
I mean, really, it's 60-40. You can see about 60% of the time, and the other 40%, you really can't. I mean, it doesn't matter how bigger you are.
Right.
I mean, I'm already shorter in stature, yes, but that's why it's so important when it comes down to knowing coverages, knowing scheme, where our players are supposed to be, how many steps they're breaking, and where the ball should be over a certain backer. When it comes down to 11 on 11 and you got guys that are a foot taller than you and you can't see, it comes down to the processing. Like before the play, like I know that the safety is probably going to rotate down. It's going to be one high and I got one hitch, no more than that, to rip it where Debo's supposed to be, like just inside the hash. And there's a backer that's also got a 40-inch vert that I got to put up. You know, like
that's what's crazy.
All those things.
Yeah, and honestly, this is why he's in the perfect offense. He's in a Kyle Shanahan offense. It's built on timing, Mike. It's built on play action.
Right.
You can be a smaller size quarterback in that offense because he's not asking you to be in the shotgun 50 times a game. He's in a perfect situation. They're going to pay him. I'm just curious to see what that number is going to look like.
All right. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan and a Falcon fan, the story I heard this morning on the morning shift from Rusty Manziel may make you want to cringe or maybe throw up. The Saints worked out all Georgia players on Wednesday and took 11 of them to dinner Tuesday night, the night before, down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just saying that do we know if the Falcons did that? I know we had 22 guys at the pro day in Athens. It just interests me because in a lot of mock drafts, Jalen Walker does go. If Carolina doesn't take him, it just seems like we're going to see Jalen Walker in this division. If he doesn't go 8, he likely goes 9 to the Saints. But the Saints are picking ahead of us, and it's going to be frustrating to watch perhaps multiple Georgia Bulldogs get gobbled up before we get to pick, if that was our intention.
Yeah, look, you're not drafting all of them. I don't know. I mean, they took them all to dinner because they were there.
But are you going to replicate the Eagles?
Well, look, the only way you do that, again, Mike, are they picking the guys that the Eagles picked? Are they difference makers like the guys the Eagles got?
I know you have nothing but contempt for the Saints, but I'm just saying – that's interesting to me. You know, I mean, that they did a little Georgia Palooza down there in the Big East.
Look, they're in a rebuild, first of all. They're not doing anything this year. You heard it here first, okay? Right. I know Carr is there. He right now is disgruntled. He doesn't like the fact that they turned his bonus. They turned his salary into bonus and moved it forward. Mike, he thought he could make some room or make some way to get out of there. But this is a rebuild. I hope they do the right thing by trying to rebuild their defense. Mike, the defense is old, so they've got to go defense. I don't have any problem with it. I just hate that they get to these guys before we do.
Think they went to Dickie Brennan's or Commander's Palace?
Oh, good call. Boy, Dickie Brennan's.
Remember that? Dude.
Man, you got to wheel me out of there.
Me and Carl were
Dickie. Good Lord.
Me and Carl spent a day, one of those days in New Orleans where you come out and it's like daylight. And it's still daylight? And then we went to Dickie Brennan's. And you and I were literally, our faces were in our steaks. We ran hard that weekend.
So full. Yeah, that was good,
the big
man.
Cajun ribeye.
That was so good. Yeah. More on what's going on with the cousin situation if you're just joining us. But when we come back, we got Yeah Man, No Man next. Yeah. We got a lot more to get to, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks. We moved Steve Coonan's hit today. He was supposed to join us next hour, and he's got some stuff going on, so we'll get a chance to talk to him next
week. I love talking when you guys are at Twin Peaks and Kennesaw.
He does. He does.
You I'm know very what? Busy. I've got business to attend to. I cannot talk to you idiots.
That's what he said. But he'll be back next week. We will talk about the Hawks last night because that was an ugly loss, I thought, Mike.
Yeah.
They play again on Sunday against Milwaukee. Season is winding down. We'll get back into the Braves conversation as well. Opening day, not what we expected, but they'll get a chance. It's a four-game set with the Padres, so hopefully they can get right.
But when you lose a game with Chris Sale, knowing that how your 3-4-5 goes until Sale is ready, you just feel a little iffy.
That lineup's tough, man. Yeah, man. Tatis had three hits yesterday. They were raking. So you're right about
Drake
that.
Drake Baldwin nearly went yard, but as we said, and we'll bring it up, we'll get into it in depth, they were challenging him on the base paths.
Grant's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on today? Happy Friday, my man.
Yeah, same to you guys. I think we could all use a little palate cleanser after the Braves game yesterday. Do we agree?
What do you got? Some sherbet?
Well, this might feel as good as the sherbet tastes. Okay. ESPN, they took a poll, as we like to put up our polls on Dukes and Bell to get the reaction of the fan base. They polled 18 MLB executives, and they wanted to know which team in the NL has the best chance to beat the Dodgers in the NL. Well, I'll have you know that your Atlanta Braves came in at number one. They got 7 of the 18 first place votes, and a couple of quotes that I'll read you from some of the executives. One said, "Give me Chris Sale in October. Period. I know this is obvious, but the Padres nearly pulled it off last year. That reminds me, I would want the Dodgers in a 5-game series. The shorter, the better. But in a 7-game series, give me the Braves. A healthy Braves team can go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers. The slower return of Spencer Strider and Acuna could work to their favor if they're both rested and ready to go." So simply put, Yeah Man, No Man, are the Braves the best team to compete with the Dodgers?
Yeah, once we put some money into this bullpen, Carl, at the trade deadline. Once Strider gets up here, I mean, if Schwellenbach continues to rock, you know, that's great. And if Smith Shawver can do his job, but the pitching can't even come close to the Dodgers. Like, no one's pitching can come close to the Dodgers right now. So, no, I'd like to believe in a 5-game. Plus, Dave Roberts could get tight in a 5-game, too. We've seen that before.
Yeah, I look, when healthy, yes. And I feel the way that some of these folks that were polled. I don't disagree. Listen, Sale had 7 strikeouts yesterday. And in his opening, I think it was his 6th opening day start in his career. Coming off the Cy Young, he's not lost anything. You saw it yesterday, pitched 5 innings. Last night, and we know this, yesterday was about 1 bad inning, 7th. You know, you hit a couple of dingers by Ozzie and Austin Riley, and you feel good about us, and then all of a sudden the 7th inning comes in, and Aaron Bummer.
Terrible name for a relief pitcher.
Listen, they give it up. And so you have a 4-run 7th inning. Yeah, that lifts the Padres to a 7-4 win. 1 bad inning cost you. Does that mean that we won't compete against the Dodgers? No. I do think we have the best opportunity, potentially, if we get there down the road. And, you know, I hope we do, Mike, because I'll tell you, there will be no better feeling to know that the Dodgers spent all that money.
Right.
And for us to beat them in a series, whether it be the NLDS or the NLC, it doesn't matter. To move on to the World Series would be huge, but I do feel like a healthy Braves team could do that.
And, Chris, it was funny because yesterday I asked, Tony Gwynn, day before, I asked Smoltz, the other day, and a guy hit me up, one of those like snarky guys, "What's your problem with how baseball works?" I go, "Again, half of baseball's payroll goes
to." How do you say it?
"What's your problem? I noticed about you, Mike. You have problems with ownership, and you have problems. Yeah, the commissioner sucks." Yeah, because he does. Because again, you got no salary cap. They could have done this years ago. They didn't have the balls to do it. But John Smoltz and Tony Gwynn Jr. made the same point, and it's a valid one. In the NFL, we love the NBA and the NFL because everyone can compete. If you can't win in the NBA, it's because you guys have drafted the wrong players, right?
Yes, that's right.
Signed the wrong players. In the NFL, the small market guys can win. But the only way it works is if you have competent, general managers, etc. In baseball, Carl, if you do have a salary cap, the A's and the Rays and the Pirates and the Reds, they'd all have to spend, let's just say for a second, NFL, 89% of the cap. They're never going to do that. That's what John Smoltz was saying. You got to basically get a whole bunch of new owners to make a salary cap work because you're still back in the same spot.
Yeah. Chris,
so I'll stop ranting about it because nothing's going to change. As Gwynn said, you're going to lose a season and a half of baseball with a strike or a lockout if they ever try to do it.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. Listen, this is going to be – you got to really be willing to go to war.
Go to the mattresses, as I said, right? Godfather 1.
And that means you guys are ready to sit out and lose 30, 40, some of these superstars, Mike, 50, 60 million dollars for a year or more or maybe longer. And I know that these guys put into the players' union, but they ain't seeing that kind of loop.
But Tony Gwynn Jr. said they got a war chest. If that day ever comes, they're prepared for it.
They do, but they're not getting those guys are not making those salaries. Everybody's going to still get a nice
Chris,
chunk.
I'll reverse field on you. I'm making a yeah man, no man coming from me to you.
Uh-oh.
Does it bother you one bit that half of Major League Baseball's payroll goes to the top 10 teams? Does it bother you? Do you even care?
No, I mean, listen, it becomes a problem of the have and the have-nots. And as
says
you guys,
the Yankee fan.
Yeah, as you guys were just alluding to, you know, more than half the teams in Major League Baseball, excuse me, you combine their salaries and then you get, like, the Dodgers. You take the salaries of the Reds, the Pirates, the Marlins, even a team like the Orioles, and you put them together and you get $300 million, and that's the Dodgers alone. So it is a big problem, Mike and Carl, but I don't see a solution coming anytime soon because, as Mike very eloquently said there, the owners of the poorer teams are not going to spend up to a floor. That's the problem. It's not about the cap. It's about the floor.
I agree. But I would also say in total, you know, we've had this argument. When was the last repeat champion in baseball?
Yeah, the Yankees in 2000.
Correct. 25 years.
Right.
Baseball's issue is not the cap. It's competitive balance.
It's the other guys.
It's the
cheapskates.
But the competitive balance is there. When you don't have repeat champions for 25 years, and then you see that the Kansas City Royals played in a World Series, I mean, you go down the list of teams and you start seeing
– the Rays got to a World Series once.
There's parity. Right. There actually is. And so that's the other argument that owners
would
say.
There's a parity for third of the league.
No, but – why are those guys not champs every other year? That's the argument is the owners would tell you for 25 years we've had one back-to-back champion.
Right.
Nobody is dominating the league despite the Dodgers spending all this money. They have one World Series in the last decade.
My point is, I've been to a couple of games. My wife's from Pittsburgh. Is if you're a Pirates fan, it's like being a Falcons fan when the Smiths own the Falcons. You just feel like you got no shot.
Well, they got a shot this year. They got a lot of young talent. We'll see if they invest in it. What else you got for us, Turtle?
All right, this just coming down. If three is a crowd, what is four? Because ESPN is reporting that the Giants are potentially targeting a quarterback with the third overall pick, even after signing Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Apparently, the word on the street is, we've been talking about him all day, they are in love with Shedeur Sanders, want to get him in the draft, and get this, guys, would even consider moving up with the Browns if they are willing to do so, to go from 3 to 2. Yeah, man, no, man. Do you buy this?
Yeah, New York Post had it the other day, but I don't know what Shane, the GM there, no idea. I do know a young quarterback with Brian Daboll would be a winning combination. That's why I never understood why they got Russell Wilson.
Yeah, look, to do what they're doing is similar to what we did, right? I need a quarterback now, and I need to think about now, and doesn't mean that we don't have aspirations to be good, but I also need to think about the future. And so I don't see them not taking it would be unreasonable for them to not take a quarterback to set their franchise up. Look, you're done with the Daniel Jones experiment. Who's next? Russ and Jameis are not the answers for the next 7 to 10 years. So where are you going? And if you're Brian Daboll and company, and Mike, the owner said you got to win, and if you don't, you're going to get let go. And all. I think there's pressure on them. So that pressure is alleviated by having a veteran or two, and then you bring in the guy you're going to draft. So, yeah, I think there's a real that's more likely to happen with the Giants probably than any other team right now in this draft.
All right, last one here, guys, and I know this is going to hurt. There is a chance that we have a strike in the UFL. UFL is scheduled to begin this weekend with games scheduled for Friday and Saturday on Fox and a doubleheader Sunday on ESPN. But there is a labor dispute as the team and the players cannot come to an agreement. Labor contracts are going haywire with games scheduled to open now in just a few hours. and the teams and the players and the leagues are having to make contingency plans, airing reruns potentially of The Masked Singer or Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen in place of the games. The Houston Roughnecks are scheduled to host the St. Louis Battlehawks at 8 o'clock tonight, and San Antonio and Arlington are slated for tomorrow at 4 p.m. What are we going to do potentially without the UFL, guys? And let me ask you in all seriousness, did you guys have any interest?
All right, Carl, you know where I stand on this.
I do.
No interest whatsoever. Paraphrase Howard Cosell. Yes. Guys, no way. I know guys love football so much they'll watch bad football in the spring. You guys knock yourselves out. Ugh.
This is the Rocks League, right?
Yeah, and they merged. It's all,
if you smell the mediocrity.
Yeah, the XFL and the UFL merged last year, so it's now one property.
Ugh. Okay. So the thing about this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Turtle, didn't they have a good TV deal kind of set up, considering
NBC and Fox, right?
Yeah, so they actually averaged around 816,000 viewers per game last year, which is pretty good.
Okay. That's not bad.
That's under what the golf is getting, TGL.
That's not bad, but I'm just simply saying the big thing was they waited a year to launch this thing because they wanted to put the TV deal in place, and then they got it. And now you're telling me that they may go away a year in?
Well, at least for now, as a work stoppage is on the horizon.
Turtle, there won't be any for now. If this thing doesn't happen, they're gone.
Everybody does this, Carl, every few years, and the whole idea is the NFL is going to buy you out and have some kind of deal with the NFL. So you're going to have like a feeder league like the World League was.
Yes.
And the NFL's like, no, we're good. We have this thing called college football. We can always take one or two of your better players for practice squad or for special teams. And yeah, every now and again, there's a guy that can make a roster. But we're talking one out of however many teams times 45.
True.
I mean, guys, I love sports. It's not like how could you like sports and not like sports? Because spring football sucks because the players are bums. Because they're nobodies. I don't want to watch nobodies, Carl.
Yeah, and some of the rules are fun, and this is supposed to be a feeder league, right? But how many guys are going from this league to the NFL?
Right, 1%.
If that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always one. Look, I went to – guys, and just so Carl knows this, just so you don't think I'm just saying I've got a hard heart when it comes to spring football, I actually went to the first XFL game in Las Vegas, the New York, New Jersey Hitmen versus the Las Vegas Outlaws. Craziest damn football game I ever went to in my life. It was like The Replacements, Carl. Cheerleaders, all strippers, funneling beers in the stands with fans. You've never seen anything like it.
Didn't the current president of the United States own that team? The New Jersey Hitmen?
No, that was the USFL.
Oh,
He could have saved – never don't get me started on that one. That's that Small Potatoes documentary, the great 30 for 30, and how John Bassett, the owner of the Bucks, had a plan. But Trump kind of screwed up the USFL.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, well, to Mike's point, we have Sweet 16, MLB just started. You have NBA as 9 games left until the playoffs start. You have NHL 10 games left until the playoffs start. I think we'll be okay without the UFL, but...
Yeah, if it goes away, like if there's a work stoppage, it's hard to come back from because we've got too much on our plate as sports fans now. It's just,
But what are they asking for? What are they asking
for? Who knows? But the fact of the matter, we just talked about baseball. Baseball is thriving, right? The biggest thing they're going to have to figure out is where they're going to put their product moving forward with ESPN saying, hey, we're not going to have the contract anymore. But it's thriving. The last thing you want is something that is just trying to evolve to say, oh, we're going to have a work stoppage. Who cares?
Right.
You've lost me. It's not on my sports landscape to say, oh, by the way, I need to catch that game tonight at 8. Oh, what do you mean it's not on? They're done, Turtle, if they don't do this the right way.
Well, I'm excited for the rerun of Hell's Kitchen if it doesn't happen. Orin, hit my music.
Great restaurant, by the way.
Hell yeah. That one at Caesars, man, is always packed.
Oh, my goodness. Coming up, we are going to talk about Deion Sanders. He is now one of the highest paid coaches in college football, and I know you're going, for what? Okay, I'll tell you when we come back.
I didn't say that.